Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Well, it's that time again. It's that time to reveal your excellence with the on-camera coach, Renee Ellison. I am so delighted to be here, feeling 98% better since the last couple times that I've crossed your path, and finally feeling like the cough is dissipating and the stuffiness is starting to go away. So I'm hoping that I sound like my old self again. And today is a really exciting day. I am really looking forward to this show because in August, my good friend Tina Bristow and I were talking about how we wanted to kind of be seen in the world as coaches. And we talked about her being a guest on the show, and it seems like so long ago that we had this conversation, and she's here today. Tina Bristow is a health and wellness coach. She is certified through IPEC, as many of the guests that I've had on the show have been. And she was in my cohort, my class of graduating coaches when I was a student at IPEC. And we just hit it off, became best buds. And she's on the show today to talk about how to bounce back after those holiday indulgences. You know what it's like when you go over to the family's house and you're eating turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and pies and cakes. And, you know, I heard something on the news the other day that the average person who is eating a Thanksgiving dinner consumes over 4,000 calories in one day. That's calories. So how do you bounce back when you have kind of indulged in your holiday feast? And Tina's going to talk about that today. But before we get started with Tina, I just want to promo some upcoming shows that are going to be on Life Coach Radio Network's Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe is coming up. She's going to be interviewing author and coach Susan Gonzalez. That's going to be Thursday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. On Sunday, the 6th at 9 p.m., mark my words, with certified life and business coach Mark Shaw be on the air. And then you'll also get an opportunity to take a listen on Wednesday, the 9th at 12 p.m. Jan Jaffe is going to be back, and she's going to be talking to another Tina who's a health and fitness expert. Her name is Tina DeLemps, and she's of BeFit and Femco organizations that teach you how to get healthy and back in shape. So without any further ado, I just want to introduce my good friend, Tina Bristow. She is a part-time personal trainer, certified health and wellness and life coach, certified through IPEC. She holds a bachelor's in psychology, a master's in psychological counseling, and she's the creator of this really fun video series called Tone In Two. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Tone In Two as we progress through the interview today. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Renee. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing real good, real good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you on the show.
I
would not feel like the show was complete unless I was able to include something about health and wellness, especially after the holidays, because I think that's when everybody starts to get in their mind that they want to kind of redo or get a new start after a year or a month of not eating the way they want to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after Thanksgiving seems like a really good time to kind of talk about that. and no better person to do it than you. So, you know, Tina, I've known you for, how long have we known each other now? About a year now,
About a year.
About a year, a little over a year. And I know one thing I know about you, Tina, is that you are very passionate about fitness. Where does your passion for fitness come from?
Well, I believe it started probably over 20 some years ago, but it didn't start as a passion. It started off as me just really deciding to join a gym just for something to do, and just really fun. I just needed something to do at the time, so that's where the passion. And then once I got there and joined the gym, and I started seeing the benefits that I was experiencing, not just physical benefits, but also sleeping better. You know, when you go to the doctors, you know, at 20-some, you don't think about it, but the numbers as far as cholesterol, blood pressure, and things like that was great. But I found myself really looking forward to going to the gym. I found that, you know, the routines came easy. Learning how to use the equipment and different things like that came easy for me. And I really, like I said, it wasn't like something that, you know, wasn't like a job or anything for me to go. I actually enjoyed going, never talked myself out of going. And then as I started seeing the benefits that I was experiencing, you know, I was getting questions from friends, family members, coworkers about what I was doing. So, you know, that kind of got me excited. And, you know, the more I learned about exercise and fitness, and it just kind of like went from there. The more I, you know, as time went on, and that's about 20-some, almost 30 years later, that I'm still going strong at it, you know.
Yeah, and you are going strong. I mean, all you have to do is just take a look at those biceps to know that you are going strong on a daily basis. Tina is incredibly cut, as they would say.
Oh, thank
And you know, one thing that you said about looking forward to going to the gym, you know, I think that's something that a good portion of our society has kind of jumped on the bandwagon and knows that feeling. And there was even a period in my life when I would look forward to going to the gym and that whole idea of working out and getting healthy and seeing the results and all that. And I'm wondering, you know, just in terms of looking forward to going to the gym, when you look at the majority of your clients, are they looking forward to coming to have the sessions with you? Is that something that they look forward to, or is it more like I have to do that kind of thing?
I'd say sometimes they look forward to it. You know, they're excited about being there, and then sometimes when they come in, no, they're not. You know,
So
I guess it depends. There's sometimes they don't want to come. Sometimes they look forward to coming. But I will say that when the times that they are not, that they're coming and they don't really want to come that day, once that hour is over, they're glad that they came. They're glad that they came. Yeah.
That's
because they feel more accomplished. They feel like, you know, although I didn't want to come, I pushed myself out to come. And they know they're doing something positive, something health, you know, something positive for themselves, you know, making themselves healthy. So they're always glad when they leave, whether they want to come or not.
So, Tina, what inspired you to become a trainer?
Well, after this 20-some year process, as the time was going on, I still continue for myself to see the benefits that I was experiencing. Also, sometimes when I would go to the gym and I would see other people transform, you know, because we all, you know, you get to know a lot of people, even if you don't know them personally, but you see them and you may speak or say one or two words to them. You get to know a lot of people. And some of the members that were coming in, they came in one way, but as time went on, you begin to see their bodies transform. You begin to see them get healthier and stronger. And like I said, continuing to educate myself on how to be better. You know, because there's always still room for improvement. I believe that even though you get healthy, there's always room to get better. So I continue to educate myself on things that I can do. And like I said, I knew how easy it was coming to me as far as like enjoying it, catching on to routines, using the proper use of equipment. I was in grad school at the time, and I said, well, once I completed grad school, I said I decided that I was going to go for my personal training certification. That was something that I wanted to do. So once I completed my studies, probably maybe about 6 months later or so, I enrolled in a certification program. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that was prior to going to IPAC. That was an actual personal training certification.
Yes, I received my training certification. I graduated with my master's in 2008, and I received my certification for personal training in 2009.
Okay, so you were basically inspired by seeing people transform, you know, come into the gym maybe heavy or not able to do certain routines, and then watching their progress. And then you got to a point where you were enjoying it so much that you just wanted to dig a little bit deeper into this whole idea of being a health and fitness coach or a trainer at the time. But then eventually you decided that you wanted to become a coach. Okay, so you had this you had this undergraduate degree in psychology, a master's in psychological counseling. You had this certification as a personal trainer, but then actually something inspired you to want to be a coach. What was what happened there? Where was that transition?
That transition, as far as going from becoming a certified coach, I was trying to look for different programs because I wanted to get a little bit more education in the nutrition area. So I did a little bit of research as far as different programs that I could attend for coaching. I wanted to work with people right there where they were because I know as a therapist, for anybody that's listening that is a therapist, there are times with a client, you got to get them sometimes to a healthy place. So it's kind of you're going to the past, up into the future to get them, you know, to the current, to get them where they are, to get them healthy, to be able to move forward. I had a desire and a passion to work with people right there where they were that was ready to move forward, was inspired, ready to go, to get them where they were to where they really wanted to be. So with a little bit of research, I spoke to someone that was a graduate of IPEC. I was connected with a young lady that was a graduate of IPEC. So I did a little research, looked at their curriculum, and decided and looked at it and said it was for me. I really loved what they had to offer. It was close in proximity to my home. So it was, you know, and then once I got there, I met a lot of really great people.
Yeah, we did. We had a really positive experience, I think. And it sounds to me like everything that you've done is sort of interconnected and interrelated. And what's interesting is that, you know, a lot of people will say, I want to do something like a student might say, I want to major in psychology. And people will say, well, I'm not really sure what you'll do except for maybe work for an organization or maybe you'll work on your own as a psychologist. But it sounds to me like you charted your own course, you charted your own path because you not only majored in psychology, but you also kind of layered your education with other opportunities to educate yourself and to strengthen your knowledge and your understanding of health and fitness so that you've developed this incredible part-time opportunity for yourself that's really beneficial not only to you but to the people you serve.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking about education and your work as a therapist and I'm wondering, you know, how has that helped you to help others?
I believe that my background in psychology and the counseling has really helped me tremendously going forward as becoming a coach. Because I believe that God has blessed me with a gift to help people, not only being a personal trainer, but also being a therapist. So I'm also, you know, I'm able to help people physically as well as psychologically, spiritually. So I believe that I felt that those two go together and they're a good complement, especially when you're training an individual, because I believe that the majority of getting fit is mentally. It's not physically, it's mentally. It's really mentally to keep at it, because it takes, you know, it takes discipline, focus, motivation, commitment, which is a big one, to stay on the course. Because you can, so I'll say, so let me backtrack as far as how I believe my education has helped me as well as being a coach. A lot of the skills in counseling that you learn, a lot of the skills are interrelated in coaching. And I'll give an example as far as listening, which is really a big one, is listening to what your clients have to say and what they actually need. Asking empowering questions to really get them to dig deeper and think about what it is that they actually want. Showing empathy and compassion for that individual, trying to put yourself in a place that you can really understand where they're coming from, a lot of it. And I believe a big one, which we learned in my undergrad and graduate program, but we talked a lot about it in IPAC, is being non-judgmental when individuals come in. When you look at an individual and they may come into you for training and they may be overweight or something, not being judgmental just based on what you see, but really get to know whom that person is and what that person, where that person, you know, that client is and where they want to go, instead of just looking at them because they're overweight. So we get into our head, we see that, and we can't see anything else. And believe it or not, clients can pick it up. They can pick it up when you're sincere. Yeah, they can pick it up when you're sincere, and they can pick it up when you're being judgmental. And that will, I believe, that has a big plays a big part as far as your relationship with the client, or even whether they want to work with you, whether in coaching or personal training.
I definitely agree with you, Tina, and I see that. You know, I've struggled with my entire life. You know, I always joke that I was 9 pounds 2 ounces when I was born, and it's been uphill ever since. And there was a period there when I was working out a lot and had a variety of different personal trainers, and you can always sense when someone has that judgment of you. You know, I always kind of pride myself on being a fairly accomplished, successful person. And there are people who look at you just because you might be overweight, even if you're just slightly overweight. And they judge you as being lazy or noncommittal or, you don't care about yourself or whatever. And so I definitely see that. And you can, as a client, you can pick that up. So to be able to have that kind of compassion, I guess you would say, for your clients is really important. So who are your clients? Who are your clients? Who do you serve?
My clients right now, are females, ranging in the age like 28, 62 years old. And right now these clients are working, they work out with me like two days a week and every other Saturday. And these individuals right now, by, I'll say, society standard, are considered overweight or, say, obese. But, you know, we work together as far as we do a lot of cardio training. I have them on a program as far as cardio training and also resistance training, weight training, to help them not only lose weight but to tone up as they lose the weight. I also give them, offer nutritional guidance as we go along. I'm not a registered dietitian, but I can give out nutritional suggestions to help them along the way. I try to work with my personal training clients as a way is also like I do a coaching client, because I like to try to have the client be involved with the process, not me just giving out quote-unquote orders or telling them what to do. I like them to be involved, too, so I ask them things that they would like to do, what they want to include, you know, so it'll help them. It'll make them feel like I'm part of this process as well, instead of them just coming to me 2 days a week or 3 days a week and me giving them things to do, suggestions for when they're not with me, routines or exercises or things to do when they're away from me, because that's a big part of it as well, what they do when we're not working out together. So, and as far as my coach, I have one coaching client, and that client right now also is a female, and who's looking to get back into shape as well. They've been out of a program for a while, and they're not really sure how it looks right now. So I'm partnering with them to let you know, to supporting them, asking them the right questions so that they can get more of a to make a more of a conscious decision as to what health and fitness looks like to them. So I don't, as well, I don't tell my clients what to do. I let my clients tell me what it is that they're looking for, what they want, and then I support them in that area.
So you fill in the gaps for them if they have questions or if they have a lack of knowledge in a certain area, you're able to support them through their transition, you know, their desire to either lose weight or get healthier or get more tone or whatever their goal is, you're mm-hmm. there to support them through that process. If you're listening to us today and you have any questions for Tina, please don't hesitate to get on the line and give us a call. The guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And you may want to press 1 to connect with the show.
I just wanted to add something else. I just wanted to say as well is that when I ask questions, I ask my clients questions. I just give them, especially when I'm coaching a client, I ask them questions that really make them think and look at things different. And sometimes that opens up a lot more ideas or a lot more answers to whatever it is that they have, some things that they hadn't even thought about. But if I ask a certain question, it kind of makes them think about it a little bit more. So it's not, so they can go in a little bit more deep, a little bit more in depth. So mm-hmm. that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. And Tina, I was wondering too, you know, what are some of the reasons why we overeat, especially around the holidays?
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I've found that with some of my clients, what they've shared with me, I'll address a couple of things before I even get into the holidays and why we overeat. But some of the reasons that we tend to overeat could be, you know, some people are bored. We eat out of boredom. Some of us are emotional eaters. And that's one of the reasons why I encourage clients to, when they're trying to lose weight, to use journals to write out everything that they're eating. Every detail, even down to the condiments, and if also possible, to measure their food. Because when you have a journal, it gives you an opportunity to go back and look at what you have been doing, maybe to try to tweak some things as far as maybe add in a little bit more protein or maybe to pull back a less, you know, if they're eating too much sugar or something like that. So I believe the journal is really important for clients just to get an overall view of what they are eating and things that they can change. Because if you're not writing it down, sometimes keeping it in memory, you can't always remember everything. Mm-hmm. But as far as us overeating during the holiday, again, there's food everywhere. Think about it, you know, right. If you think about it, there's food everywhere. You go to your job, it seems like right around after Thanksgiving, they start laying out the cookies, they start laying out the chocolate candy and things like mm-hmm. that. And, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you just start nibbling. You know, you get involved, and then also, too, holiday Christmas parties are coming up. People are going to job parties, Christmas parties. You know, sometimes you go into more than one Christmas party. Your family. You're going to family and friends' house for Christmas and eating. And then also, too, if you're not careful, if you're a drinker, you know, the cocktails, they add on calories as well. I find, too, that some, you know, it's difficult for clients that who are trying to lose weight or getting shape at the time. It's a little difficult for them, and some clients have discussed this with me, and that's why I believe having a support system is really important. Because they'll go out to, you know, they'll go to a family member's house, and sometimes they feel pressured to eat a piece of pie or maybe that second piece of pie, and people may say to you, oh, it's the holidays, enjoy yourself, you can start back at the new year, you know, things like that, or you know, they'll start making you feel guilty because you're not indulging like you normally do. So those things like that I find if you don't have the support system or if you don't have enough discipline, it can snowball out of control, and then you can start eating all these foods that, you know, really going overboard, eating all these holiday foods that you normally, that you don't want to eat. It's not that you don't want to eat them, but you know what your goal is and what you're trying to do, and you're trying to stay focused. So like I said, it's really, I believe it's really important to have a support system, but I also have some strategies here, too, that I believe can help during the holidays for some people that may overeat or who are trying to keep their eating in control or at a, you know, reasonable for the holidays. If I can share them.
Absolutely.
Okay. I would say some strategies for those that are on an exercise plan, who are exercising and are trying to stay trying to keep everything in control. I'll say keep it in control as you can during this time of year. For one, just to continue to move, continue to stay active. If you do have an exercise plan or exercise routine, to do as much of it as you can. If you're going to family and friends' house, it's a good idea if you can to try to eat something before you go. You're more less likely to overeat once you get there because you've already eaten. Also, too, a good idea is to use salad plates instead of a large plate. Use a salad plate, then you won't put as much on there. Try not to pile it up too high. Keep it level, you know. Don't put everything, pile everything on top of a salad plate, but use a salad plate. Also, to select some healthier choices, maybe, you know, more fruits and vegetables, lean meat, salads, and things like that instead of some of the heavier food, the turkeys and the dressing and sweet potatoes and potatoes and things like that. And then also, too, a good idea is to bring a dish that you've prepared yourself. You know, at least you know at least you know how it's been prepared because you've made it yourself, especially if you're trying to watch what you're eating and your calories and everything during this time of the year. And then the number one, too, is not to be so hard on yourself. You know, if you do go out to a party or a job or a family's house, and you may eat a little bit more than you intended to, not to be so hard on yourself, because what I find happens sometimes that people get, you know, individuals may get down on themselves because they ate a little bit too much, and then they think it's like an all or nothing. And then they'll just say, well, what the heck, or what's the use? And then they'll continue down that path of overeating, and then it goes into the new year and it continues to go. So don't get down on yourself if it happens. Just it happened and start back, start again, but get focused again and keep at it because you can do it.
Well, I love the motivation and I love the positive attitude. And, you know, the one thing that you talked about, the whole idea of not getting down on yourself is such an important thing to remember, I'm sure, because I know I do it. You know, you, Tina, you there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
I make a declaration. I'm going to go on a healthy eating regime. And the moment I veer off, you know, I start to kind of beat myself up a little bit. And that's definitely not the best case scenario. You want to try to know that, okay, maybe you fell off the wagon here, but there's also the next day, and you can continue. And I think that what you said about having a support system is so, mm-hmm. so very important. So when you say a support system, Tina, I'm just backtracking a little bit. When you say a support mm-hmm. system, what do you mean by a support system besides just a coach? And I don't mean to say just a coach, but besides having a trainer or a coach, what other kind of support system do you think that you could use in order to be successful in your weight loss?
I believe when I say having a support system, it could be family, spouse, it could be your children, it could be good friends that you've shared your journey and what it is that you want to do as far as taking your health, taking your health back, getting your health back, letting them know what you're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve. And when they're supportive and they're encouraging, they can be alongside of you. So when you get to these points where you might be in a situation where someone is trying to encourage you to eat something that you really don't want to eat, and then also, too, they can get alongside of you with it. And when they see that you're eating better, exercising, they'll support you, and they may get on board and start doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
what I mean. That's what I mean by support system, because you have to tell, I believe you have to tell the right people, because everybody is not going to be supportive of this new
right.
change that's
right.
taking place.
Right.
So you want to have people in place that really are really for you.
And you know what, Tina, just off the script for a minute, I mm-hmm. start thinking about shows, those weight loss shows that are on television and mm-hmm. the unrealistic expectations that people now have of themselves as a result of these shows that, mm-hmm. that you're going to lose, 27 pounds in 1 week, or that you're going to lose weight at such a rapid, a dramatic pace. Can you give us more of a realistic expectation of what weight loss should look like and what our expectations should be?
As far as the weight loss, weekly, if you're weekly, it's usually like no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week that
right.
you want to be losing, 1 to 2 pounds a week, because you want to take it off slowly
mm-hmm.
and so that it'll stay off longer as well. So 1 to 2 pounds, it'll really record. If it may be a little more than 1 to 2 pounds occasionally, that's okay. A lot of times, that's especially in the beginning, that's water weight. But as the journey continues, it's going to be like 1 to 2 pounds a week. That's more realistic. It's going to take a little longer, but that's okay, because it's a healthier way to take it off, and it's going to stay off longer as well. So I encourage 1 to 2 pounds a week. I think that's good.
Yeah, and that sounds realistic. And then I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
about the overall obesity issue. Just
mm-hmm.
the fact that it amazes me, actually, because of all the places that I've traveled in the world,
mm-hmm.
the United States is the most low fat and low sugar and low carbs, and manufacturers are constantly selling to those desires of the consumer to have less fat, less sugar, less this, less that. Yet, we're the number one nation in the world that suffers from this obesity issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know it's a big question to ask one individual, but I'm sure you have an opinion. What do you think the answer is to this huge obesity issue that this country is facing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. All on your shoulders
today.
It's a huge question.
It's a very huge question. And I will say that I don't have all the answers, and I don't believe that there's one answer
mm-hmm.
To solve it. I believe as a whole, we all, and when I say as a whole, I'll say society is to continue to be educated on the importance of having a healthy weight, of importance of eating healthy, taking care of yourself and exercising, to just to continue to educate yourself as far as if you don't, what can happen as far as high cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular problems. There's so many issues. Heavier people, you know, when you're more overweight, more weight on your joints, and with arthritis, that can be an issue as well. But I believe as far as continuing to have community programs, as far as health fairs in the area, hospitals offer a lot of programs. There's a wealth of information, although you have to be careful with some of it, but there's a wealth of information on the website to continue to educate yourselves. Also, I believe, too, it's important, too, for those that are that do have live a healthy lifestyle and are eating correctly or eating properly and exercising to take care of themselves also, is to be a living testimony, too, to other people. You know,
what do you mean by
around
that?
Around you.
Yeah.
When
what
I mean
a
living testimony, I mean, or walk the walk, I mean to live it, to live the healthy lifestyle so others around you can see the impact that it has on you and the benefits that you're experiencing, that they'll see it, and they may, you know, eventually want the same thing for themselves as well. Because when you talk about, there's, you know, sometimes individuals talk about what they're eating, that they're exercising, or, because remember, anytime you tell somebody that you're doing something, they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to watch and see how, they're going to watch and see how you live. They're going to watch and see how you're eating. So if I come out and talk about how much I exercise and how much I take care of myself, or stress-free, and if I'm running around ragged, or if I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not eating, then I'm not really being an example for someone else. So those of us in the health and fitness profession, we have to be examples for those that haven't come on board yet, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And,
I mean, I think if we could start there, I think if our society could start there, it would make such a difference. I think, you know, the point that you made about educating yourself on the importance of having a healthy weight that start to scare me is when I hear people saying that, you know, cancer and diabetes and all these illnesses could be exacerbated because of an unhealthy weight. And, you know, that's scary. That's very scary.
Yeah, it's very scary.
And,
it's impacting, you know, the age is becoming so much, you know, younger now today, too. It's impacting a lot of our children as well. So it is scary. It's scary. That's why I said there's a lot of health fairs and community fairs and programs that we can attend that are free of charge as well too. So, you know, to have cholesterol check and different things like that to see where you can start. So for those that maybe are not able to afford these things, you know, health fairs and are good places to start.
And I think I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about the African American community at this juncture, because I think one of the things, you know, like Tom Joyner does the bring yourself to the doctor day, or take yourself to the doctor day or something. Are you familiar with that? He does this campaign every year where he encourages people from the African American community and beyond to take themselves to the doctor, because I think what happens a lot of the times in African American communities and other communities as well is that we may not be as likely to go to the doctor. And I think what happens as a result, I'm hearing from doctors I've interviewed on my television show, is that African American women are dying more of breast cancer, they're dying more of related complications with diabetes and with other illnesses and heart disease and things like that. And that too is very distressing. So, you know, I think I think it's important to just emphasize that. Because I know I'm not one to kind of jump up and go to the doctor. You know, I sometimes do the self-medicating thing, over-the-counter thing. You know, even though I might have an insurance, I'm not just go to the doctor. It's because it's not something that I'm used to doing, or culturally is not something that I think I do. So just emphasizing the importance of getting out there and getting to the doctor if there's illnesses, or just preventative health, I think too is important.
I think it is too. It's very important. We, as African Americans, some have the, not all, but as a whole, have a tendency to not go, because if something's wrong, they don't want to know about it.
Right.
But you know, something's wrong. We don't. You know, you don't want to know about it. But I believe it's important to go for the preventative medicine, for the preventative routines and physicals. Because if something is wrong, we can catch it, you know, the doctors can catch it early. Sometimes we, you know, we may go and once we get there, it's a lot more serious than it could have been had we gone earlier.
So
that's why I always
said,
you know, we may not want to go. I'm not a big fan of the doctor myself. I don't want to go, but I know how important it is. So I make sure that I go to have my physicals, mammograms, GYN doctor. I make sure that I go to those doctors, although, like I said, I don't want to go, but I know how important it is to go. So I make a point to go.
I just remembered what it was. Bring your loved one to the doctor day.
Okay, bring your loved one.
Mm-hmm. Bring your loved one to the doctor day. Yeah, that's what Tom Joyner does every year. I believe that he still does that as well. Another question for you, Tina. How do we motivate people to exercise? So as a health and wellness coach, when you are having a conversation with one of your clients or even someone who might not be a client, a potential client, how do you, what words do you choose to motivate that individual to want to work out?
Mm-hmm. Okay. First, I try to listen to them and hear what it is that they really want out of exercising and what they're trying to achieve. And I always say I'm a big cheerleader. Anytime anybody starts talking about trying to get in shape, I get excited anyway. You know, I get excited. I guess that's because of what I do. I get excited, and I always tell them, you know, encourage them to go for it, to keep going, to stay focused, but I always so encourage them to be realistic about setting goals for themselves, to start small. Again, as we talked about earlier, not to be too hard on themselves because there will be setbacks. But I believe one of the biggest motivators to get someone to start exercising, I always encourage people to find something that they enjoy doing because they're more likely to stick with it. Everybody's not a gym person. Everybody's not going to join a gym. Some people like to exercise in the privacy of their own home. Some people are not big aerobics for people or cardio. So I always say to find something that you enjoy doing. Take up a sport if, you know, maybe it's tennis or something like that, yoga, whatever it may be. But find something that you enjoy that you know that you're more than likely to stick with. You might have to try a couple of activities till you find something that it is that you really enjoy. It might be not just one thing. You might have a few things that you enjoy doing. But I believe that really motivates people to want to go, because someone that doesn't like the gym, if they, you know, they join the gym, they know they need to exercise or it's important for them to exercise. If they're not a gym person, they're not going to go. So I always say find something that you enjoy doing, and that really encourages people, and I believe that really allows people to continue on with their exercising if it's something that they enjoy.
I think that's
a big one.
It is a huge one. And and I don't know what happens with me, but sometimes I get bored with exercise. I have this elliptical in my apartment, and I use it on occasion, and I get bored with exercise. So I think that idea of just finding something that you really like and finding a variety of things that mm-hmm. you really like.
Exactly.
Can really make a difference. Tina, we have a caller on the line, actually. I'm going to go to the 732 caller. Hi, you're
okay.
live on the air with Tina and Renee. Welcome to Reveal Your Excellence.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Monica, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Monica.
Hi.
What's your question for Tina?
Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just one subject that you all touched on a few moments ago was dieting and being healthy, especially in the African-American community. And one of the things that I find is a problem for many of us are being able to afford the foods, being educated on how to cook healthy, but also what can we afford to buy. Of course, things that are $3-$4 may have more weight or fat content than maybe going to Whole Foods and, you know, picking up things that are a little bit more expensive. So are there any tips on learning how to purchase or, you know, buying groceries and you know, what should we buy? What's going to be cost effective for people?
Monica, that's a great question. Tina, what do you think?
I would say I know I understand, you know, it's understandable where Monica is coming from as far as to eat healthy. You hear that a lot of times from people that I want to eat healthy, but it's too expensive to eat healthy because they, you know, you hear a lot of write-ups about promoting organic foods and things like that, a lot of organic foods, fruits and vegetables, and it can be quite pricey. So I would say if you're just starting to, again, to start where you are, and that could be drinking more water. Doesn't have to be the most expensive water, but just start drinking more water. Also, as far as fruits and vegetables, if organic is too expensive for you at this time, or if you can't afford organic, just start with your fresh fruits. If that's tight, you can even start with canned fruit. But just kind of watch the canned fruit as far as the syrup. They have the heavy syrup and they have the natural, so you might want to stay away from the heavy syrup. You can do something like that. As far as canned vegetables, you can have canned vegetables do frozen vegetables even before canned vegetables. Do frozen vegetables. You can also do frozen fruit as well. Those kinds of things like that you can start off with. You know, replacing your white bread for wheat bread, starting off small, those things. So it doesn't have to be like a drastic change so it hits the pocketbook really hard. But just start off with small things like that. Stick with your regular fruits and vegetables instead of going with organic. But then just make sure before you prepare, make sure you rinse them off really good.
I'm wondering too, Tina and Monica, I'm wondering, you know, I grew up in South Jersey, and there are a lot of produce markets in South Jersey. And even in Central Jersey, I see them on occasion. And the pricing seems to be a little bit less expensive. I mean, it's an extra trip when you're going to the supermarket to then turn around and go to a produce market. But that might be, you know, those little side vendors that sell.
That's also a good idea. Mm-hmm. That's also a good idea. They're starting to put them up more now, too, I think, because people are talking about getting healthy more, and you hear so much on the TVs and in the newspapers about being healthy. Some of those markets are starting to pop up a little bit more in more of your, more areas where you can get to them, because sometimes you have to take a drive out to get to some of these farmers markets. They're starting to bring them more in town now for people to have more shorter access to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
So depending
urban
on, yeah, so depending on where you live, Monica, those might be some ideas as well as hitting some of the farmers markets. Some of the fruits and vegetables tends to be a little bit less in cost. So that's a way also, too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Did that help you, Monica?
That did help a lot, and I hope that it helps a lot of people, because that is one of the, you know, when we all talk about weight, that's one of the things that we all talk about. The cost is, you know, McDonald's has the dollar menu. And so there are oftentimes a lot of people just live off of the dollar menu because it's affordable, not that it's healthy at all. But but that's the community sometimes and what folks are faced with. But if they have other tools, you know, that's maybe take that dollar and buy some fresh fruit, that may you know, take us a long way health-wise. So that I thought about that because that's one of the major complaints when you go to the doctor and they tell you you should eat better. Well, you know, they're doctors. They can probably afford to pay for the food. We can't go to Whole Foods all the time and make these purchases. So that helped a lot today. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And there's one other thing, too. She may have hung up, but there's one other thing that I'd like to offer, too. I know in some communities you might have to maybe call some, you know, call the local township or something to find out. But I know in some areas they do have community gardens where the community takes care of a particular, they have a large garden and communities take care of them. And then the community can come over as need be and pick what they need, fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
So that's something, too, that I know in the area that I live in that they've been offering to the community, and I think it's been a real benefit for a lot of people. So that's something to think about, too. You, like I said, you might have to do a little research, maybe call one of the townships or something like that to get a little bit more information on where they're located.
Thanks again. Have a good day.
Okay,
Monica,
you too.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Monica.
That was a great question, Tina, and great
responses
on your end.
Thank you. That was a good question.
Yeah, great question. And I think a lot of times I've noticed those community gardens that you've talked about, not physically, but I've seen stories about them on television and that they're starting to become more prominent in urban communities.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's a really great tip.
Thank you.
So I just before we wrap up, I'd be remiss without talking about Tone In 2. Can you tell us a little bit about Tone In 2 and what that's all about?
That was just something that's an idea I came up with to help individuals that may not have a lot of time to work out, or your novice exerciser who is just beginning to exercise. It's still in the process. It hasn't taken effect yet, but it's something that will eventually, I plan to put it on YouTube. It's a place where you could go and learn some of the basic exercises, learn proper form, get encouragement, and get motivated. It's just also, too, for, like I said, it gives the viewer motivation, and it encourages them to do the best they can so that you can do it in the privacy of your own home, so you don't have to compare yourself to other people and what they're doing and what they look like. But besides that, and besides the intro, because I do give a little intro on the benefits of the particular exercise that I will be performing, but it's an exercise that can be performed in 2 minutes. That's why it's called Tone In 2. And as the exercises begin to accumulate on YouTube, you can take exercises for your upper body, your lower body, and your abs, and you can put yourself a nice little program together a routine that you can do on your own. So
awesome.
That's what Tone In 2 is all about.
Awesome. So, Tina, you know, you are quite the entrepreneur. You have your health and wellness business, and, you know, I should also mention that you do have a full-time job, and you're fitting this in nights and weekends, and so you're incredibly busy, but you are available for consultations. So if someone is interested in reaching out to you to talk to you about working with you, because the service that you provide, I'm going to say, is extremely holistic, because you're talking about really servicing the client from the inside out.
Yes.
You know, giving them the emotional, physical, psychological support that they need in order to really make it to their goals.
I believe one impacts the other. I believe it's all together. You can't have one without the other. I think they all are interrelated. And I'm excited about it because I think, you know, if you have one, you want the, I think if you have one, you want the other, and vice versa.
Exactly.
Just a whole balance. Yeah.
It's so true. I just wish we lived closer. That's what I always say. I wish we lived closer because I would love somebody like you in my backyard. How do we reach you for consultation?
If anyone would like to reach out to me, they can reach out to me. I have two email addresses. One is tmking0715@optimum.net or path2fitness@optimum.net. So I can repeat them again. That's tmking, K-I-N-G, 0715@optimum.net or path2fitness@optimum.net.
Now, question for you, Tina. Path to Fitness, is that T-O or the number two?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the number two. Path to.
Okay.
Number two.
Path. Okay. That's probably the easiest one to remember. So path to fitness at what now?
Optimum.net.
Optimum.net. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
Well, Ms. Bristow, this has been an incredible opportunity for me. You've inspired me to get on that elliptical today.
I'm glad. Good. It's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you thinking of me to ask me to come on your show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Tina, you are filled with all kinds of knowledge and wisdom and abilities and talents, and I would be at a loss if I didn't have someone like you on my show. So especially at this time of the year when there's so many people who are desirous of health and fitness and wellness and getting in shape and losing weight and toning up and all that. And you're the absolute best person that I could think of to interview about that topic. So
thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I thank you for your time. And I hope you have a good rest of your day and weekend.
Okay, you as well. I appreciate it. You enjoy your day.
All right. Bye-bye, Tina.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
So, everybody, that was Tina Bristow. And Tina is, as we have been mentioning, a health and wellness coach and trainer, and has just an incredible energy and vision and excitement for people to watch them transform. That was her inspiration. That was the reason that she became a health and wellness coach in the first place, is because she was seeing people in the gym transform and transition from having weight issues or not being able to do certain movements in the gym and seeing them improve. And that inspired her to want to go into this industry and to do this work. I really enjoyed every single solitary minute of the conversation, and just thank her so much for her time and her commitment to this work. So we are about to wrap up, and I just want to thank you, my listening audience. Thank you to Monica, who reached out to us today from New Jersey, and she asked a really very insightful question. That was something that Tina was able to answer, I think, beautifully, and really give us an opportunity to think about people who may not be able to afford eating well. And really, Tina's answer was very, very simple. Start small. It doesn't mean that you have to go to Whole Foods and spend $200 on groceries, but it does mean there might be things right at your local market that you can purchase and that you can enjoy. I'm so excited because next week or the week after, which is the 12th of December, I'm going to have Nakia Blair on the show. Nakia is a life coach as well. We're going to be talking about balancing the best of life. Nakia is a wife, mother, professional. She's a coach. She works full time. She has two children, and just is able, when I can't even balance my one self, is able to balance an entire life that's just filled with love and joy. And she's going to be talking to us and telling us how she's able to do it, because I'm really curious. So that's in a couple weeks. Nakia Blair will be on the show, Balancing the Best of Life. Thanks again to Tina Bristow. Thanks again to you. And have a phenomenal day, a phenomenal weekend. Enjoy the rest of this Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll see you in a little while. Okay, bye-bye.